Good afternoon and welcome to Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. My co-host, Senior Judge Elaine Andrews, is away today. Our topic is about a new court process for drug and alcohol offenders that is taking place right now on the Kenai. It is called the Joint Jurisdiction State-Tribal Therapeutic Court, and its aim is to get to the root of offenders' problems and give them the resources to pursue sobriety rather than sending them directly to jail. It is a collaboration between the Kenaitse Indian Tribe and the Alaska court system. An historic government-to-government agreement was signed in late 2016, and the first participants began in 2017. Two judges preside over this court, one from the state court system and one from the Kenaitse Tribe. We have two judges on the program today. I'd like to welcome just-retired Kenai Superior Court Judge Anna Moran from the state court system. Welcome, Judge Moran.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Very happy to have you. And also we have Susan Wells, Chief Judge for the Kenaitse Indian Tribe. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. Our Chickenick.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And they'll tell us about the genesis and ambitions of the court, as well as the nuts and bolts of how it works. This therapeutic court was inspired by similar courts in two other states, California and Minnesota. We'll also hear from participants in this program. With us in the studio right now, we have Ty Hawkins. Welcome, Ty.
Welcome. I was honored to be invited.
And we will be learning more about your story as we go along. Later in the show, we have two other participants joining us by phone on the Kenai. They're Eli Darien and Carrie Pinkley. So before we get started, I'd like to remind listeners that their comments and questions are always welcome. I'll give out our phone numbers now and several times during the hour, so please feel free to participate. You can give us a call here in Anchorage at 550-8433. Statewide, the number is 1-888-353-5752. And we also monitor our email, and we can take an email from you at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right, let's get started. I know that this is your first day of freedom, Judge Moran, where you're not actually working as a judge, but you really presided over, you and Kimberly Sweet, a judge from the Kenaitse Tribe, were the launching judges, if I could say that. I know you didn't do it alone either. I mean, it took a lot of people. But could you tell us what the process was to bring this therapeutic court forward?
I'd be delighted. The Kenaitse Tribe and the state court have tried to work collaboratively together in the past. And in fact, several years ago, now Superior Court Judge Jen Wells worked with the Kenaitse Tribe in setting up a way to do circle sentencing for people who were charged with minor consuming.
Could you just tell us what circle sentencing
I'll
is?
Let Judge Wells explain it.
Well, at the tribe, we have what is called a talking circle or a peacemaking circle. And it's one of our part of our court system. And we have a circle keeper, and it's a different type of restorative justice where they talk out issues. And that's what we've been doing, I don't know how many years now, where people come into the court to resolve disputes in a safe place and in a and an equal setting.
So that's been going on for a long time within the Kenaitse Tribe.
Yeah.
So it has its own judicial system, I guess you could say.
Yes.
But Jen, as you were saying, Judge Moran, did she see that and get excited about it? Or how did we start to incorporate circle sentencing?
It's all part of another process where we tried to start a wellness court 5 or 6 years ago and got very close to starting a wellness court. That very October we were supposed to start, the federal government pulled the financial plug, and so we were still left without a wellness court in our community. And so there had been a lot of community meetings. There had been a lot of collaboration between the services, the PD, the DA, the tribe, in trying to get this started. So when it fell apart, I think we're all somewhat bereft, but we're still trying to figure out, well, what can we do on our own? And we were having several meetings just trying to feel it out. But, of course, we're all busy, and we just couldn't get a hold of a framework. When, lo and behold, I get this phone call from a Judge Smith in Minnesota asking me if I'd be interested in a dual jurisdiction court with the Kenaitse Tribe. And I said, sure. And I think Judge Sweet got the same phone call, and we just both agreed because we had a vision to help our community. I mean, like many communities, our community suffers from an opioid heroin problem as well as alcoholism. And We wanted to do something for our community to help them get well. So Project Team came down, and they had a grant, and it was Corey Wasik from Leech Lake Tribe, who had worked with John Smith, who was a state court, in setting up their own court.
So they had a joint jurisdiction in Minnesota.
They did.
Okay.
And they really did it on a lick and a promise.
I think I saw that that started in 2007, just when I was doing a little reading about this. So they'd been at it for a while. And how did they find out you? How did they reach you? Do you know how they knew that you were a ripe territory for a joint jurisdiction court?
Well, as Judge Moran, this is Susan, as Judge Moran said, we had worked on the Kenai Wellness Court and were pretty disappointed that it didn't get funded. And I just happened to be down at a national American Indian Court Judges Association conference in October, and right after the funding didn't come through, and I met John Smith. He talked about how what he was doing in his court wasn't working. He wanted to install a revolving door in his courtroom because he'd have these people come
Same
in.
Same people coming back.
Yes. So he finally threw up his hands and he went next door to, to the Indian reservation and said to Judge Wawasik, what I'm doing isn't working and I need your help. And so they began sitting in her courtroom and adjudicating those cases there. And it worked. The recidivism went down so much. So came home, told Judge Sweet, this is what they're doing in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following year, unfortunately, it took us a couple of years, we were back at the conference and we heard about funding and found out that there was funding that we could get to get this project going. And then Judge Sweet and Judge Moran took the ball and ran with it. And we have Hanu today. Hanu means hard work. They put in a lot of hard work.
So Hanu is a Kenaitse word?
It's a Dedina.
Word. Yep. And it means hard work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's called the Hanu Wellness Community?
Community Wellness Court.
Community yeah. Wellness Court. Okay. So Judge Moran, had you seen anything like this in your career?
No. I mean, I'd seen wellness courts, and I did sort of my own modified wellness court for my child need to vay cases. But I knew the concept would work. It's just trying to get the concept, get some traction on the concept in our community. When I was approached with this, I was very excited because mm-hmm. It was a great marriage of some of the Native traditions on wellness with some of the ideas we already know about wellness and a way to serve the whole community. And one of the unique things about our Hanu Community Wellness Court is that it's open to both non-Native and Natives because the Kenaitse tribe sees our community as being their community. And
We're
all together in this. And so we've been very blessed to have that perspective, which I think helps rebuild people from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. I know Judge Wells has been sitting on the court with you, but I want to go back to the early days when you sat for the first time with Judge Sweet. How did you get ready for that?
Well, you know, to even get to the point where we had this wellness court and a joint jurisdiction court took a lot of faith from a lot of people, and trust between Judge Sweet and myself that this was going to work and that we could work together, and trust from the PD and the DA.
Sure, all the elements all along
all
the way.
All the elements had to be there because this is a paradigm shift for them. I mm-hmm. mean, they're asking their clients to maybe not go to court or to be honest about their drug use, and the DA is also hearing confidential information that they can't use to prosecute people. So it took... It was a community effort, and everybody had to be on board. And, of course, you know, everybody's slightly suspicious of one another at first.
In the beginning.
How's this going to work? What mm-hmm. is this going to do? How does it operate? But I think that shared vision of wellness for our community and a need to help our community really got us over the hump.
Okay.
And then we went and we spent hours developing practices and procedures that were used in other wellness courts so that we could get the state to also sign on and be on board.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked very hard, and then we waited
mm-hmm.
and waited.
I just want to, people just joined us and they're hearing this talk about a wellness court. I just want to bring people up to speed with where we're at. We're talking about the joint jurisdiction state tribal court in Kenai that has been going on about 18 months, roughly. It's a court that is aimed at holding people accountable, but looking at the roots of their problem, mm-hmm. substance abuse. Essentially, we're talking substance abuse mm-hmm. here, which includes everything from opioid to alcohol. In the studio with me, we have Judge Anna Moran, who just retired today, or is her first day of retirement. She was there at the beginning of this court about 18 months ago. And we have Judge Susan Wells from the Kenaitse Tribe, who has stepped in now. And I'm not sure how long you have been serving as a judge with this court.
With this court, 6 months.
6 months. So I wanted to ask you, Judge Wells, a little bit about your background, in the tribal court system. How do you become a judge?
In our court, you have to be a tribal member. There's an age restriction. You have to be at least 31 or older. I'm that.
You're just barely over that.
Yeah, just barely. And you have to be domiciled on the Kenai. And you need to be willing to learn and get trained. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to have a law degree or anything, although I went out and did some law school for a couple of years, and it didn't fit.
Wasn't the same methodology,
no,
I guess.
No, it's our court, our tribal court is non-adversarial, so it was kind of hard for me, because in our tribal court we look for win-win situations and not a winner-loser, and mm-hmm. that's why this Henu court is so wonderful, because we're looking for win-win, and mm-hmm. we're working together to do that for mm-hmm. our community, because we're only as healthy as our community.
Right, right. One question I have is, we're living certainly in Anchorage in a time when there's an opioid epidemic and there's a rash of crime and there's a whole lot of, hold people accountable. But there's also the facts of the recidivism rates in our system. And I'm quoting something from a previous Justice Alaska show, something like a 66% recidivism rate among the whole population, but a 74% recidivism rate among Alaska Natives. Mm-hmm. So that isn't working. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm going to address this question to both of you. How does accountability work in this therapeutic system? I guess we should actually explain to people that it takes quite a while to work through this system, and that kind of explains the difference. So who would like to start a little bit? There's four parts to it. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's four parts to it. There is the trust phase, there's then the belonging phase, then the living well phase, and then it's the reunification back into the community phase. And
what happens in the trust phase?
For the trust phase, that's usually those are the early days. People are still trying to work through their addictive habits. They're still trying to relearn new patterns. It's been a very humbling experience, because I did not realize that sometimes people suffering from addiction have lost their way about how to have a place to live or where to show up or just the basic things in life that we take for granted. And just when I think we've dug a deep foundation, I realized I had to dig a little deeper. And so the idea is to find out who our people are and what they really need and help them get their foundation started and trust us, as well as us learning to trust them.
So this again is to both of you. That trust phase, obviously people are not well at mm-hmm. that point. But how do you work to get that trust? Does it mean that people need to acknowledge where they're at? Maybe some of this is not acknowledging where they're at or the trouble that they're at. Help me with that.
The first phase, not only are they learning how to trust us as judges in our court, because we have a lot of services for them, but we're also learning how to trust them and make sure that we do hold them accountable. We're fortunate to have a lot of services at Kenaitse through our Denina Wellness Center. We have a great behavioral health team that provide substance abuse treatment, maybe some mental health if they need it. We have a social service department that will help with housing or food or mm-hmm. whatever needs they have. If we have children involved in the case, then we have services.
So it's almost wraparound.
Total immersion.
Recognition that someone's in this situation not because they made one bad choice, but there's many issues.
Multiple.
Multiple issues in their life that they're struggling to solve. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I know one of the criticisms of SB 91 was just that some of the reform came before the services were ready, mm-hmm. And that in some other states that have had more success, I don't know, we're just into it, so I don't think it can be judged yet, but that they worked to get some services in place. And so it's fortunate that the tribe is able to deliver some of those. So is the state involved in service delivery, or is it specifically the Kenaitse tribe?
Well, we have partners throughout the community mm-hmm. that got on board. When Judge Sweet was gathering all the parties to who might have a stake in this, they came from all over, and they were part of the whole planning from day one. They came and they talked. You know, project team led us through.
Project team, help me just with that. That's something you know, but we might not yeah. know what project team is.
I can't remember what TEAM means, but what they do is they have that vision. They have the joint jurisdiction court that they've worked, and so it was a way of helping to develop. I feel bad that I don't remember what team stands
were
for.
Were they from Minnesota?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It was yeah. the team
well,
from...
it was a grant.
Yeah.
And Oregon Health Science Center was involved mm-hmm. in it and some other people involved in mm-hmm. it. And the grant was to go and help other places establish a joint jurisdiction court. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they had the tools to help us build
and
the framework.
And some experience, actually.
And experience. So
yeah.
they were able to bring all the community members together, the tribe, the state court, the public defender, the behavioral health, all the related services, and help us identify what we wanted as our mission, mm-hmm. who we wanted to serve, and how we wanted to get there. And without their assistance, I think we would have had the desire, but not the tools on how to build this particular court.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember what it
go
is.
Go ahead.
Or actually got help. project team means together everyone achieves more. And so and we recognize that we needed everybody at the table mm-hmm. Because the old adage that it takes a village to raise a child. And so we needed to have all of those programs, parts, pieces yeah. to so that we could funnel all that into even one person mm-hmm. or each individually. Because everybody's different, mm-hmm. and all that input really just helped to form what we're doing today.
And I imagine if you can succeed, so someone does not fall into a similar trap and end up committing a crime to support a habit and going back to jail, if you can stop that cycle, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that recidivism in, I think it was Minnesota, on the tribal court was much lower. Can you give me a feel for that in the Kenaitse in your tribal system? Is your recidivism rate much lower than the one I mentioned? Do you have any idea? I didn't ask you to get some stats for before the show.
I have high hopes for the people that we have in the program right now. But in our tribal court, I think we have the supports around to help our clients or our petitioners in the court to keep them from keep coming back. But we do have, just at the state court, we have parties that come back to our court with problems.
Sure.
So, and it's that restoration that we're looking at. We're going to stick with that person until they're up and walking mm-hmm. on their own and on that good path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's sometimes we have to think outside that box.
Mm-hmm. And be patient, I guess,
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah. And value and yeah. and respect them where they're at, people.
I know that I read in some of the press materials about the court that it can accommodate up to 20 people moving through this 18-month, four-step program, which is very restorative in nature. Give me a feel for where you're at now. How many people are moving through your system now?
We have eight, mm-hmm. and we have a few more coming in. It's so early on, we had a lot of applicants, and we realized, oh, we're so new, we can only take so many to serve them because they need a lot of intensive services. And one of the things that I think is unique about our court is that we have the Denina Wellness Campus where they come for literally one-stop shopping. I mean, they are there to get
service.
Their UA, their social services, behavioral health. They meet there regularly for lunch, and that way all eyes are on them, and that Kenaitse has made a commitment to providing them with services right away so that when they are thinking of applying to the program, we can get them in for an evaluation and get them linked into services right away rather than waiting 6 or 8 weeks. And so that has been something that I think has really moved our court and our participants along further along than more traditional ways of dealing with substance abuse.
Mm-hmm. Do they get recommended by a district attorney or a
anybody.
Police officer or
go ahead, all over? Judge Wells. Yes.
So
anybody.
They can come from
anybody.
Can they self-nominate?
Yes. Yeah. They have to be charged with a crime. Yes, but anybody, family member, DA, PD, an attorney, I've nominated people. Anybody can make
and
the nomination.
Who are you looking for? What signals a strong candidate to you? And I'll ask Judge Sweet that also. But Judge Moran, what signals a strong candidate to you?
Well, interestingly enough, we want people who are at the highest risk, highest needs. They do the best in a wellness court. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of those people every day because I'm seeing the people coming back over and over on the same charges. I might also have their child in need of aid case and see that they might be at risk of losing their children or their custody case. I see all that. So
it's, I was thinking it would be the opposite, like the first-time offender that made one mistake. But in fact, it's the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. It's the person who has slipped and slipped and slipped. Mm-hmm. Why is that a good candidate?
You know, that was surprising, I think, to all of us until we started going to wellness court training. But it turns out that we provide such intensive services that only those people who really need them can make it through the 18-month program and survive. People who are first-time offenders or have other resources usually can do better without that much intervention.
I see. They might turn to some other, they might have more financial resources and get some counseling, but some of the folks you're dealing with might not have those resources unless they get into this program.
So I also used to operate an alternative court called the PACE court for people who have substance abuse, and it's just an accountability where they had to go in and get UA so often, and the sooner they got through that process, they would graduate. The people who are flunking out and PACE program were the ones I was recommending for the wellness court.
All right. Well, we're going to take a tiny break here. We take one now and one later in the hour, but I'll be right back. You're listening to Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
Welcome back to Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska. My name is Kathleen McCoy. My co-host, Senior Judge Elaine Andrews, is away today. Today we are talking about the joint jurisdiction state-tribal court in Kenai, which is a collaboration between the Alaska State Court System and the Kenai Tsi Tribal Court. And two judges sit on this court. I was wondering, do you both wear black robes or do you wear street clothes or you both wear street clothes when you're presiding as judges?
So as it turned out, we do it Friday afternoon because the state court is closed. And because the state court was closed, we decided just to do it at the tribal court. And so we wear street clothes, we sit at a table, and the participants sit on the other side of the table.
So it's a different setup than the traditional state court system.
Absolutely.
And that's leaning on the circle analogy that Judge Wells talked about earlier.
In our tribal court, that's what we do. We're all sitting around a table.
Yeah.
And we're trying to resolve
kind of
issues.
Putting everybody on equal footing. Was that difficult for you, Judge Moran? I don't mean difficult, but was that an adjustment is more what I think. Or did it just seems like another way that this can work?
Seemed very natural. It was something I wanted to work that way, and so no, it was as natural as anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to move over to Ty Hawkins. Ty is a guest in our studio today. He's a participant in the program, and Ty, tell me just a little bit about you. What is your story? Are you a lifelong Alaskan? Did you grow up on the Kenai? Just tell me a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about how you got involved with this court system.
Oh, I was born in Portland, Oregon. Back in 1951, I grew up there.
In Portland?
Yeah, in the Portland area for 51 years. And then I came to Alaska to come up here and fish because I love to sport
fish. So many. And you lived on the Kenai?
Yeah, I live on the Kenai Peninsula. I've been there for 18 years now.
And did you fish for a living?
No, just sports fish.
So what kind of work did you do?
I was a supervisor at Reynolds Aluminum in Troutdale, Oregon for 20 years. I got hurt on the job.
Oh. And so you couldn't really work like that anymore?
No, not really. There, even though you're a supervisor, there's a lot of physical work still to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it. So I was on my own. Well, I mean, I didn't have to report into work and stuff. And I had my son because I had gotten a divorce.
So you and your son are living up in Kenai?
Yeah.
Okay. But you're not working. Now, fast forward to how you got involved with this program.
Well, I did a lot of drinking in Oregon. But when a couple times I did get caught driving, oh, it was easy to get out of them over some crazy
technicality
thing.
Or yeah. Something. Uh-huh.
But I came to Alaska, and it didn't stop me from drinking. In fact, what I look back as I was running. I'm a veteran from the Vietnam War with PTSD, and I was running from people. And so that was one reason to come to Alaska. It took me a long time to figure that out.
That you were running away.
Yeah.
When you came to Alaska. I always say people are either running to something in the state or they're running away from something else.
And I kept on drinking up here, and I was a revolving door in the jail.
One of the people that Judge Moran and Judge Sweet refer to.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I was a real revolving door. I was surprised they even thought to take me. But I you can't say, I don't have no violence charges, but driving and drinking, that's violence.
Can be dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I want to welcome one caller we have. I like to get the calls on and get them answered. Carolyn, welcome to Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska.
Yes, hi. Kathleen, congratulations. You're doing one terrific job over this program. There's so many elements to this, but I'll try to just touch on a couple. Number one, a lot of distrust between the two cultures over the years and for justifiable reasons. And yet, the talking circle has been so strong in so many applications. And I think it's great that you folks are helping not just Native people, but the community.
Uh-huh.
Because I think in terms of the judicial, the legislative, and da-da-da-da-da, the one that hits most people directly is the judicial. And we have to have a sense of fairness in what's going on there. My immediate concern, based upon the increase of prisons that are being paid for, private prisons, is the pushback you folks might get or be getting already from the folks who want to see people locked up for a long time.
Well, you know, I did want to ask our judges, I'm sure there are critics. There are always critics. So one of the things I was going to ask is what is a frequent criticism and how do you respond to that? So would that be a good summary of your question, Caroline? And can I have the judges take that on?
Absolutely, and also the history that you folks are turning upside down because people are learning there is a better way than the way we've been doing it.
Okay, all right, and we will also get back to time, pick up your story, but let's talk briefly about, you've been around 18 months, so there's time for people to decide that they want to quibble with you or whatever. What do you hear about this joint jurisdiction court? Judge Wells.
Not too much criticism. I think there was a question just at a recent meeting with some of our tribal members about, you know, why are we focusing on Native and non-Native? And that's our heritage. That's our culture. We're only as healthy as our community and the people that come to us, our unina. You know, that's our responsibility. And though it might be sound like a criticism, I think it was just a valid question.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, all throughout our history, time immemorial, people that come to us are become one of us or become ours, and they're our family.
Mm-hmm.
And the non-natives that we have, like Ty, he's our family forever. Or at least mine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Judge Moran.
You're not getting out of this, Ty. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, she may be retiring, but she's had a huge impact on our community. And so, you know, we can't do anything but respect and honor her for what she's done for us. So.
And how about from your perspective, Judge Moran, that's not necessarily the approach of the state court system. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really speak to that. But from an outsider, that idea that, do you think there's a shared value there that we all must lift up the one who has fallen?
I do, and I think that our community has done that. We've done many presentations to the local Rotary, the Chamber, to anybody who'd listen to us, and oftentimes we'll bring participants, and when they hear their stories or they understand the genesis of maybe their substance abuse use, they're on board, because I tell them it's a ripple effect. When I have somebody like Ty, who is a hardworking person who's paying it forward by the work that he does, I'm going to let him explain
that. We're going
it.
Back to Ty here in just a second.
I mean, when you see how these people are paying it forward, how they're not no longer committing their own crimes, but they're also participating to the community. This is an effort all of us need to be committed to.
Yeah. I want to throw out our phone numbers for listeners just one more time. 550-8433 in Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752 statewide, or we can also take email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We are currently just discussing the therapeutic court. It is a joint jurisdiction court between the Kenaitse tribe and the state Alaska State Court System, and it is 18 months into its running, and we're going to go back to Ty, who's actually involved in the program, from Portland, Oregon, came up to Alaska as a divorced father with a son, had a drinking problem. Continue to bring us up to speed, Ty, with how you encountered this joint jurisdiction court.
Well, it was sort of new, but I heard about it, and at first I thought, well, got to be a native to get into it.
That was your presumption.
Yeah. And then I kind of found out you didn't have to. So I was in jail. And so I put in my application. And it took a long time. I mean, they just don't say, here, we'll take this guy. I mean, there's restrictions. And luckily, they did accept me.
What do you think made them accept you? Do you have any sense of that? Why? I mean, I know Judge Moran said we are looking for high-risk, repeat people with a serious problem. Was that the thing you brought, or was it something about now is the time I'm going to change? Or did you even know you could change?
Oh, I really thought my life was just going to be a revolving door constantly. And in a way, at first, this is going to be an easy way to get out of jail.
Oh, Judge Moran is shaking her head, and I think Judge Wells is too, that you've heard that before.
Oh, yes.
Like, this is the easy street? Or?
It's another street. It's another avenue. And, yeah, what's 18 months? And, yeah, sure, I'm going to get out.
At least I'm not going to jail.
I'm not
going to
be in jail. And, yeah, maybe I'll give it a shot. You know, most of these people are still laboring under the influence of their substance abuse habit and their addictive ways. So, you know, I'm not expecting a miracle or some kind of revelation. I just want somebody who will say yes and do what we ask. And then eventually.
So it starts out kind of simple, but gets more complicated.
Exactly.
Tell us about that time.
Oh, I get into, they accept me, put me in the program. And at first I was, what am I getting myself into? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're asking a lot, because it's really a lot of stuff they ask you to do.
Like, give me for instance, that anybody could relate to.
Going to classes, reporting in to your PO, doing 3 UAs a week. I mean, they got you on the move constantly. Mm-hmm. And they're suggested things to you, and you wonder, well, why are they doing this to me?
Why me?
Well, after a while, I finally, light bulb came on, and I found out what they're doing. Each person's different, and they know that. And what they ask you to do is for you. And what they figure will help you. And they've asked me some crazy things, but I've did them.
Give me an example.
And I found out that was the reason why they did it.
Because it was crazy, but it was designed for you.
For me.
Can you give me an example of the kind of thing that you'd never been asked to do before, but this court asked you to do?
Oh, the biggest thing is what I'm doing now.
Public outreach?
Yeah, well, they asked me to go to, it's called the Blue Moose Bread, Bed and Biscuit. It's a kind of a, it's a daycare for dogs. And they have, she has a, this lady has a program starting. It's called Healing Hearts and Paws. And it's for therapy work to use dogs as the help. Yeah. It's therapy like a person with PTSD.
Okay.
Hearts. Any, I mean, there's all kinds of different dogs.
So that meant you went to that program, you enrolled in it?
Oh, well.
Or just got exposed to it? What does it mean?
I'm still at it.
And did you get a dog?
I've worked. No, you just don't get a dog.
Okay.
It takes a lot of work. People may think that, oh, I'll just go get a service dog.
Right.
It don't work that way. First of all, it takes 2 years for a dog to even get qualified. And then the person, it takes him time to go to school and to learn about dogs. Mm-hmm. And then you got to get with the dogs and see if that dog will fit you.
Wow. Well, let me just, if people, we're not, this is not a show about dogs. This is a show about a joint jurisdiction tribal court. But Ty, who's in the program, is describing to us one of his assignments was, which was to go to school learning about dogs and dogs. And
yeah, to get a therapy dog.
Yeah. And so how long have you been doing that?
Oh, 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, what are you learning from it?
I'm going to be becoming a person in the biz to work with children and cardiac people and stuff by using dogs to calm them down, to show them. We have dogs there that we were using. In fact, last Friday, I finally worked with one of the children, a cancer child. And, oh, it's fabulous.
Wow. I mean, this is just...
It's turned my life completely around. I got a purpose now.
So do you think that part of this is taking the emphasis off yourself and putting it, making you open to other people? In other words, you're not just worried about you and your problem, but now you're worried about
other people.
Other people. Has that been significant for you?
Oh, yes. And big time.
So, Ty, isn't this your Pay It Forward project?
Yes.
So every participant has to have a Pay It Forward project. When they're ready, they come up with a project that they're going to do to give back, and this is what he's doing.
I can see how you have to have partnerships in the community, right? I mean, it's kind of very creative to think about what's out there and what might be useful in a rehabilitative program.
And we're fortunate that our community has embraced us. Uh-huh. And so there's opportunities like what Ty found or heard about, went and researched it, came back and has been reporting and doing.
Doing. So, Ty, what was it like working with that child? How old was that child?
He was 9 years old.
And he has cancer?
Well, he's been through a long process.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like sitting down and talk. Oh, he's smart.
This little boy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And...
You bring in the dog? Is that what?
Yeah, we have some dogs, and I'll bring in just certain dogs. And we sat out at a table and just talked. I talked with him on his experience of what has happened to him, and there was a dog there. And he paid more attention to the dog than what I was there. It was wonderful to see a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. And he could tell his story like... Right. I would tell my story.
Right, right. So is that in what phase of the 18 months are you? You're in the third phase, I think,
third
you established.
Third phase, yeah. Living,
is that
living
where you,
well.
Is that where you pay it back or pay it forward? Is that when that, or it can come in at any time? Okay. What was the trust phase like for you, Ty?
Oh, well, what I found out in the trust phase is to be honest. Just be honest.
Various judges are shaking their heads yes.
I said things that most other people wouldn't say, but I was being honest, and they seen that.
They recognized the honesty.
Well, I mean, they've worked with people for many years, and they know when a person ain't telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have two other participants in this program that are on the line in Kenai. And so I'm going to sort of lean toward you, Ty, to help me bring them out. I'd like to hear their stories, too, and hear where they are at in the program. So I'd like to welcome Eli Darien. Hi, Eli. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Eli.
Darien.
Eli Darien. Thank you, Eli. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us on the radio today. And I believe you're with Carrie Pinkley. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And I think you've been able to hear our conversation going back and forth with Ty, and we're going to continue that conversation, and we're going to sort of draw you out on where you are in the program, what your story is, how you got there. But I'm going to take just a tiny break here before we get started in that conversation. You're listening to Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. My co-host, Senior Judge Elaine Andrews, is away today. But we have an abundance of judges here in the studio. We have Judge Anna Moran and Judge Susan Wells, who work on this joint jurisdiction therapeutic court in the Kenai. And we were just talking with Ty Hawkins, who is a participant in the court, who's talking about the way that as moving through this 18-month program, he's been basically paying it forward by working with a young cancer patient and a therapy dog, bringing a therapy dog to this young cancer patient. Then we welcomed on Eli Darien and Carrie Pinkley, who are also participants in the program down on the Kenai, who are kind enough to join us by phone. And I just want to draw you out a little bit. I'm going to start with Carrie. Carrie, tell me a little bit about your story. Are you from Alaska, or did you move here? Just tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was originally born in Oregon, but I moved to Alaska in 82. So I've been raised here. I'm going on 4 years here in the Kenai. I'm a mother of five, and I joined Wellness Court last year.
How did that happen, Carrie? Did you nominate yourself, or what was the circumstance that brought you before the court, and then how did you get accepted into this Wellness Court?
Well, I was in jail out at Wildwood. I had gotten a felony DUI with my young son in the vehicle. I've had a long history of substance abuse and trouble with the law, and I had tried other treatments before, and nothing just seemed to work for me. Mm-hmm. And I was given the option to check out Wellness Court, and at this time in my life, I really finally wanted help, and I wanted something different, and it was new. It sounded long, and I knew that's what I needed. I didn't need just a quick fix, because that never worked for me in the past.
You know, Carrie, Ty was talking to us about being a Vietnam vet and suffering from PTSD and realizing over time that he was running away from people. And you say that you were ready for something longer. What circumstances were you in? Do you know why you had a substance abuse problem? Are you still figuring that out?
Yeah, I had a lot of trauma as a child. A lot of PTSD. Mm-hmm. I used drugs and alcohol to cover my pain and my fear for years and years. I finally just got to a point where I needed help and I wanted to help.
Mm-hmm. Right. Where are you in the program? We've talked about it being four steps. The first step sort of being characterized as trust, and then working your way all the way through these segments, and until you're essentially able to rejoin the community, having overcome some of the issues that were causing substance abuse. So where are you in this program?
Well, I am finally in phase two. I had a few slip-ups in the beginning of the program, and I was given an option to go to inpatient treatment for a while, and I chose to do that. So I was actually gone for 7.5 months and did inpatient and came back to the program.
Mm-hmm. What was your addiction? Was it to pills or alcohol or both?
Quite a bit of everything. My main was alcohol. It's been alcohol for a long time, but I did get pretty heavy into the heroin and the meth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so basically you went to rehab off the program but came back. How's it going now? What kinds of things are you doing in this program?
Well, I was still in the program when I left to go to rehab. I was able to call in every week and let the court know what I was doing and where I was at in the programs down. I went to Juno, Sitka, and Dillingham to treatment before I came home.
Okay. And I imagine being home means you're still with your children, and are you able to hold a job, or is the program itself so encompassing that really that is your job to work your way through this program?
Well, you know, the first part of the program where you're 5 days a week in classes, so it's really hard while we're in our outpatient program to get a job. They don't really suggest it that early. They really just want us to focus on ourselves and not get too overwhelmed. And that's really what I learned to have to do in the first phase was to slow down and not try to do too many things at once because I didn't know how to deal with keeping a schedule and staying on it. So
right.
Judge Moran taught me a lot about that.
Judge Moran is smiling, and she recognizes what you're saying. So so that's something you learned, how to, instead of letting the world come crashing in all the time, taking a little control over what you can actually accomplish. Is that a good summary?
Oh, definitely.
Uh-huh.
I'm just graduated my treatment part, so I'm looking. I've been working part-time, but I'm really going to focus on going back to school.
What would you like to study?
I was thinking of something in counseling field. Mm-hmm. You know, I am such an advocate for recovery now in the community. I just really want to help others.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're in phase two. What's phase two called?
That's the belonging phase. And you know, I just love where I'm at in the program right now. I feel I'm right where I need to be.
Does that mean belonging to the program or belonging to the community or belonging to your family or all of those things? What does belonging mean?
I think all of the above, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm finally, I didn't have all my kids with me. Now I have my 16-year-old home. I have visitation with my twin daughters. My son is getting ready to come for a visit. So I'm involved in all of their lives, and the past 4 or 5 years, I had none of that.
Right. So you talked about one of the skills that you got that Judge Moran worked with you on is this idea of controlling the world coming in at you, I guess. give me some other examples of things you've learned, or if there's something important about the program you just want to share with people. I'm really open to that, too.
You know, when I first came into the program, I, like I said, I had a long history with the law, and it was really hard for me to trust everyone. That's why the trust phase is the first phase. It's the most important. But the longer I was in the program, the more I saw how invested the judges and the POs and our counselors were on getting us the help that we needed. It really changed my attitude toward law enforcement, toward probation officers, toward the judges in general.
Mm-hmm. You sort of see yourself more or less on the same side of the table as them. They're working for your health. You're working for your health, that sort of thing, as opposed to them, them versus you, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Judge Moran, when I came to court for the first time just to see what it was like before I joined, she told me, "We want you to help us help you." And that sold me right there, because that's what they've done. We've, you know, as addicts, we do things totally different, you know, mm-hmm. and to get them to understand where we're at and where we need help, and they were more than willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the huge difference. Other, you know, state court, you just get sentenced to time and get let back out with no resources, mm-hmm. no housing, mm-hmm. no help whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember we had Commissioner Dean Williams on, and one of the things he opened his remarks with was that 95% of the people in jail will get out. Are they going to be ready to reenter life? And it sounds like this program is doing something for you that simply going to jail did not do for you.
Oh, yeah, it's been fantastic. Giving the option to learn and grow and have people surround me that are there to support me when I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I have that help, and now I can ask for help. I had a really hard time with that in the beginning.
You know, I don't want to not hear from Eli. Let me jump in and invite Eli to join this conversation. Eli Darien is also in the program, and he's down on the Kenai with Carrie. I think you're sitting there maybe in an office on a speakerphone. But Eli, tell us a little bit about your story.
All right. I'm a tribal member. I'm a year deep in being an elder. I work down at the Kenaitse Indian Tribe's educational fishery. I've been in and out of jail used for the past 5 or 6 years on, you know, minor to major drug offenses.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't seem to, you know, stop using drugs. And
where are you in this wellness court program?
I'm in the fourth phase. I'm actually going to, I'll be one of the first participants to graduate on October 4th.
Wow. Tell me about the transformations that happened to you along the way, if you can. I know that probably there have been a lot, but maybe some of the major transformations for you.
I got into this program. I'm in the 10th year of a three-year probation now.
The 10th year of a three-year probation?
Yeah,
is that a trick question?
I just kept messing up.
Uh-huh.
And I was over at this other treatment program, and they had had enough of me. You know, I couldn't, you know, I was just going through the motions there, and nothing was working. And my last chance was with the Henry Court. And the treatment program here.
Why did this one make a difference to you, Eli?
I think it was just, you know, the sense of community here and the participants, you know, we just all bonded right away.
Mm-hmm. You're sort of in the same boat, and that's other people going through the program with you you're talking about, or do you mean the court officers?
Participants, people I'm in going through the program with.
Mm-hmm.
We're all real tight.
Mm-hmm.
We still speak every day to each other.
Mm-hmm. And
about things we might be struggling with, we help each other.
You know, Ty described one of his paying it forward projects. It sounds like you probably were involved in something like that along the way here. What was yours?
They got this MRT class here. It's moral recognition therapy. Yeah. And I'm going through this course, and when I complete it, I'll be helping facilitate them. Last spring, I went through the RADAC training in Anchorage to be a drug and alcohol counselor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do.
So you see yourself committing yourself to other people that are struggling with substance abuse?
Oh, yeah. I got, you know, so many of people I know and relatives here in Kenai, and I think I could help.
Has it been... You know, easy saying no to drugs and alcohol now that you've been working your way through the program? The things that would trigger use before don't trigger use now, or how are you different in that regard?
Yeah, and once I made up my mind I don't want to get high anymore, I didn't even know that I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it amazes me every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't care to ever get high again, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I started smoking weed when I was 14, you know, and dabbled a little bit in drugs, other drugs and alcohol, you know, through my whole adult life. And then my wife passed away in 2002, and it took a really dark turn in my drug addiction. And, you know, I was probably basically out to kill myself a different way, you know, just in drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and things are just better now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. No. I am just very impressed and moved by your story, Eli and Carrie and Ty. I think the judges were correct in that the story is not the judges or the court. The story is the people who walk the walk and walk through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Judge Moran, I've been in her court many times in the state court, and you know, I could tell she was wanting something better for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she was one of the people that helped me get in. So she recommended me for this through my probation officer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probation officer.
Right. We are winding down here. We've got a minute or so more. I want to thank Carrie and Eli, and I want to ask Ty to come in on what you heard from these two. It must be familiar turf for you, maybe, or did you end up at all counseling them? Or I mean, I guess it sounds like Eli's ahead of you in the program. So, but does it all ring true for you? Does it sound like familiar territory?
Yes, but it is. But everybody's different,
mm-hmm.
And they notice that.
Yeah. Each of these stories was different as well.
You know, I had one thing to say. The therapists and stuff we get from the wellness court over there, my therapist, well, for PTSD, I have opened up to her that I've never told anybody about. And it's made a big difference.
Sounds like healing. Like,
oh yes,
yeah. Oh,
it is.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just to say we could have talked. We could go on talking forever. The music means we're running out of time, and so I want to thank Judge Anne Moran from the state court system, newly retired today. Congratulations, Judge Susan Wells from the Kenaitse Tribe, and the therapeutic court participants Ty Hawkins, Eli Darian, and Carrie Pinkley, and of course our listeners. I'll be back as your host next Monday on Hometown Alaska when we tackle a listener-requested topic, CBD. That's a legal substance found in industrial hemp and marketed for its healing properties without the euphoria-inducing THC that is found in its cousin, marijuana. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thanks for joining us today on Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.